I wondered what prompted the writing of the song, Purer in Heart, O God. And we're going to be singing that song at the end of the service. It's number 542 on the board up there. And if you want to follow along with that as well as with your Bible, you're certainly invited to do so. If you are struggling with a particular temptation or sin in your heart, then when you sing the words of this song, they take on new and deep meaning. You will believe that Fanny E.C. Davison in 1877 knew exactly what you would be thinking as sin and God fight each other to conquer your heart, and you want God to win. But you find that you are often sitting on the sidelines with sin. What was her temptation and sin? We will never know. But it does not matter, because the words of this song fit any sin and temptation that seeks to rule our hearts. But the song also expresses the deep longings we have toward God in the warfare of our souls. In verse 1, the song says, pure in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to Thee. Watch Thou my wayward feet. Guide me with counsel sweet. Purer in heart, help me to be. Hear the deep pleading, opening and closing all three verses of this song. O God comes from the deepest part of the soul, expressing in this song utter reliance upon God, because self is at a total loss. God, I am helpless. I don't know what to do. I have a major problem. I can't overcome it. I need your help. Help me, O God. Psalm 60 shows that David pleaded with God for help against an unnamed adversary. Think of the trouble of your soul as you struggle against sin and temptation. As I read to you the words of David from the last two verses of Psalm 60, verses 11 and 12. Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly. For it is He who shall tread down our adversaries. Who is the enemy in our struggles? Well, it's certainly Satan and his allies, both in the flesh and in the spirit. But sometimes we discover we are the enemy. I am my own enemy sometimes. So we can take David's words and say, God, give us help against our own troublemaking. For our help is useless. Through You, we will get a pure heart. For it is You who shall tread down our problems. We sing that we want to be purer in heart because we want to devote our lives completely to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We also know that a purer heart comes from wholehearted devotion, don't we? I know that my heart's not going to get any purer if I don't devote myself completely to my God. So God, I'm begging for Your help in this area too. I want to be completely devoted to You, not to myself. and certainly not to sin and temptation. We do not want any distraction that will lead us to impurity. That means what Jesus said in Mark 8. We want to be true of us. I mean, we read these words of Jesus in Mark 8:34, and we know they're the truth because Jesus spoke them for one thing, but we look at Him and we say, yes, I just know that makes sense. That's the way to do it. Jesus said, whoever desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after Me. My heart just will not be purer if I don't do what Jesus said there. I have to, number one, follow Him. But number two, that means I've got to deny myself. It's not going to be an easy road. So number three, that means I've got to take my cross. And number four, follow Him. I don't know if Fanny Davison was moved by that passage or perhaps others, but she certainly knew of it. And she wrote down the words of what, for me, are a powerful song. In fact, it was a couple of weeks ago. I don't know who our song leader was or even much about the service, but I just remember singing that song, and I thought, oh man, I need this song. I really needed it that morning. And then I thought, well, maybe others need it too. Maybe you have felt the same way that I have, and so that's why I wanted to talk more about the song tonight. So therefore we say to God, watch us and guide us. Our feet are wayward. And when we get that way, be on the lookout and warn us. And bring us back to Your path, O God. Therefore, we need to be ready for correction or instruction from the Scriptures, a brother or a sister, or perhaps a life experience, or something that God uses to get our attention. Wake up, my son, my daughter. Look where you're going. Don't go there. It's going to hurt you. The psalmist in Psalm 119 knew the ultimate source of God's sweet counsel, as the song refers to it. In Psalm 119, verse 105, he wrote, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Excuse me. God's word is certainly a bright light in a dark world, is it not? Haven't you found that? I mean, you listen to the world, and you look at your own situations, perhaps, that you create for yourself, and then you read the Word, and you confess, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Thank You, O God, for helping me. Verse 2 of the song. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. Teach me to do Thy will most lovingly. Be Thou my friend and guide. Let me with Thee abide. Purer in heart, help me to be. We beg God again, opening the verse and closing the verse, with deep longings to our caring Heavenly Father, that He help us to be purer in heart. Not only because that's what we want, but we know that's what He wants. He went to great expense to see that we have purity of heart. That's what the death of Jesus Christ is all about. He sent Jesus to die for my sin, that my sin might be removed, and now my heart can be pure and innocent. So I know that's what He wants. God, help me in my struggles. We know that it is God's will that will bring purity by first keeping us from sin and then by forming in us the image of Jesus Christ. I think, again, that's why we have the words of verse 2 like how we do. You know, help me to get rid of that sin, but also, you know, teach me to do your will. And the way to ensure that is to make sure that I am dead. And now Jesus Christ inhabits this body. Again, I refer to Psalm 119. I've recommended this psalm to you before, and I want to do it again because it's the longest chapter in the Bible, and the whole thing is devoted to the Bible. 176 different thoughts on the Word of God. Here's what it says in verse 11. Your Word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. See, that's what verse 2 of our song is saying. If I can just do God's will and do it most lovingly and have Him teach me to do His will, then with His will hidden within me, I know I won't sin. Jesus knew no sin. Therefore, if we die to ourselves and let Him live through us, we will be purer in heart. It just has to happen that way. But that comes, does it not, through constant self-reminders that Jesus is the one who's living in me. And we all live in this world, and there's so many things that compete for our thinking, and pretty soon we'll forget who we're representing. And I find myself, I have to say that constantly. If I go into a place, into a business, and maybe they're not happy the way things were done or whatever, I have to remember, Don, you're here representing Jesus Christ. How would He handle this situation? You're dead, Don Rule. You're trying to resurrect Him. Don't resurrect that old guy. He's bad news. Jesus is good news. And it's good to remind yourself of those things before you get into the troublesome situation. When things are going good, maybe for a moment you're not busy doing something, remind yourself, Jesus is living through me. Now, as the song continues to plead with God, it says that we want Him to be our friend and guide. You know, there is a time for judging. But when we are at the stage of this song, we do not need a judge anymore, but rather we need a friend and guide. We want someone with whom we can abide, not to be driven away by His disapproval. The words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 show that He is just that friend and guide. Yes, He's the judge. I know that. He's the judge at the end. The Bible makes that plain. But before that time comes, here is what He says to us. He says to everyone in Matthew 11, starting at verse 28, come to me, all you who are heavy labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, as you think about your particular temptation, aren't those the words you need to hear from Jesus? Are not those the words you need to hear from Him saying, you know, come with me. I'll help you. I'm meek. I'm gentle. I'm lowly. Yes, there's labor and there's a burden, but it's light and it's easy. Come join me. Finally, let's take a look at verse 3. Of our song, Psalm number 542. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. That I, Thy holy face, one day may see. Keep me from secret sin. Reign Thou my soul within. Purer in heart, help me to be. For a final time in the song, great God in heaven, we plead with You that You help us to have a purer heart, because our goal is that one day Your holy face we may see. I get tired of looking at this face because it reminds me of my sin. It reminds me of who I am, but I want to see Him. I'm so glad that God chose to end the Bible with Revelation 22 and all the wonderful things that are filled there. And one of the things that is found there is in verse 4, where our song, I believe, is making an allusion. Revelation 22, verse 4, says about us who are struggling against sin and seeking to overcome it and who want Jesus to reign within, it says to us, they shall see His face. Do you ever think about the face of God? What does He look like? We talk about Him all the time. We pray to Him. We read His Word. We base our lives on Him. We live and die for Him. Well, we've never even seen His face. But it's not always going to be that way. Someday I'll die. I'll close my eyes and not see this anymore. And I'll open my eyes on the other side. And what a sight. And yet I sound like I know what I'm talking about, though I really don't. But I know that it must be quite a sight because I look at His creation that's been marred by sin. I look at His earth that's been destroyed one time by a massive flood. And it's incredibly beautiful. How much more beautiful He must be. Wow, what does the face of God look like? I want to see His face, but I have to be pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, Jesus said. Now we see Him not, but our sin we see clearly. We want the day when we see our sin not, but that we see Him clearly. Now notice that the song ends with the condition that allows us one day to see His face. Actually, two conditions here. Number one, that we keep from secret sin. And number two, that God reign within. I've got to keep that secret sin away. Now we know what He's talking about, or what she was talking about when she wrote that, don't we? There's some sins in my life. There's some sins in your life that no one else knows about. They're secret sin. And because they're secret, our temptation, our fault, is that we think we can stay in them. No one else sees. It's not ruining me. It's not hurting me. I'm not suffering right now. So it's not going to hurt me if I continue it. Oh, that's dangerous thinking, isn't it? And I'm just wondering if Fanny Davison must have had something like that. She knew about secret sin, either because the Bible refers to it, as I'll show you in a few moments, in the book of Psalms, twice. Or she just had it herself, and she knew that there was something she struggled with. No one else saw it because it was going on in her own mind, or when she was by herself. And that's perhaps the thing that she struggled with the most. Maybe that's what all of us struggle with. the most. And so she said, I don't want that secret sin to reign within me. I want God. I want my thoughts to be of God, not of my sin. Perhaps these are the reasons that in Psalms 19, and then after reading there, we'll turn to Psalm 139. Perhaps these are the reasons that David uttered words that I'm sure Fanny Davison had in mind. Psalm 19, 12 through 14. Who can understand his errors? Can we really understand the full depth of our error? Can we really comprehend the potential damage that we can do to ourselves and perhaps others and to the name of God by our error? Cleanse me from secret faults, David continued to pray. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And then Psalm 139. You know, every time I read Psalm 139 and these last two verses in this psalm, I think, wow, that's David was bold. David was a courageous man. I mean, you know how he fought the lion and the bear. You know how he fought Goliath. You know how he withstood Saul. But even with himself, he had to be very courageous. Have you ever prayed the words that I'm about ready to read to you from Psalm 139? If you never have, think about it this week. Before you even think about asking God to do this, think about the courage that's involved. And yet, the benefits are endless. Now listen to this. You talk about boldness with God. Here it is. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Now I don't have to even go any further. And already I know, wow. This is pretty strong. This is the strongest medicine we'll ever give ourselves. Now, I can search my own heart, but you know something? I'm biased. If I get in an argument with someone, later if I want to talk to someone about it or analyze it in my own mind, guess who won and who was always right? You know? I don't think that's my problem alone, but I'll let you decide that by yourself. But we're self-biased. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, Solomon said. But the Lord weighs the hearts. Okay, but when I go to God, you know, He's not necessarily biased. Yes, He wants to help us, but He knows the right way. He's not going to just say, well, we'll forget about that because, after all, we're good friends. You pat my back and I'll pat yours sort of thing. No. He knows the heart, and He'll search it. He can look at every nook and cranny. And He can answer this prayer, is what I'm trying to say. If I say to God, search me, O God, and know my heart, He'll say, okay, I'm going to search, and I know your heart, and there I see it. I see what the problem is, my son or daughter. Here's how we can fix it. David continues, try me. And know my anxieties. And listen to this one. And see if there is any wicked way in me. Wow. Again, I am so amazed that David came up with these words. And God, by the Spirit, made the decision that He wanted this in the Bible. Because He wants us to be that frank with Him. Be open. I mean, He's open with us. He knows what's there anyways. So I think what's really going on here, it's not so much that God won't do it until we do it, but that we're being honest with ourselves. I'm telling myself, okay, Don, you need to be ready to hear anything from God in whatever way He chooses to reveal it. Again, verse 24, see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. When I looked over the three verses of this song, Pure in Heart, O God, I really believe that baptism answers the pleadings of this song. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 3 of why we were baptized. Recall the time that you submitted to this magnificent act. See if Peter touches upon what you were feeling that day, or in my case it was at night. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:21, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's what I wanted, was a clear conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All your sins were washed away. However, the desire to sin is a hungry beast that is never satisfied. Have you noticed that? You can be thinking holy thoughts and having holy feelings and living a holy life, and pretty soon this ravenous monster enters into your life and says, I want more. And I want you involved in it. And man, before we know it, we're doing it again. That's how ferocious this beast is. And this is why the words of this song, I think, are so powerful. The monster of sin returns with a vengeance, and the urgent longings of this song are begging for God's help. I want to close tonight by reading the words of David again and again from the Psalms. But the Psalms are magnificent for just making pleas to God, are they not? Psalm 51. You probably know the background to this psalm is that David had offended God in ways I'm sure he never dreamed that he ever would have done. When he committed adultery with another man's wife and then made the arrangements to have her husband killed, this good and holy and loving man of God did such a thing. And when God sent a prophet to him to reveal this sin to him, man, it hit David hard. The words of Nathan the prophet were like a sword piercing his soul and going all the way through it and then just cutting it down and just opening up his heart. And poor David was, well, he was guilty, but he also felt the horrible sting of his own sin. And so he wrote this psalm. And starting at verse 7, hear the words of David. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. You see, he was feeling the burden of the guilt of his sin. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. David, when he realized, God saw me with this woman. God saw me making plans with, I believe it was Joab, to have her husband Uriah killed. He knew all that was going on. It's as though he was standing right there watching me and listening to me. And so he says, God, hide your face from my sins. I'm so ashamed. And blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, David prayed. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. I think that Fanny Davison knew Psalm 51. I tried to do all the research I could in some books that I have on songs and songwriters. I searched the internet. I asked someone in another congregation where I know they have some books on songs. And there's not much known about this woman, and even less about why she wrote the words of this song. I'm glad she did, though. Because I'm sure she wrote Psalm 51 and she thought to herself, I know what I want to say, right along with David. Are not David's pleadings yours also? Can we pray the words of Psalm 51 for you tonight? If you need it, come forward right now, please, as we stand and sing.